Welcome to the AgroCast. This is Ray Brules with David Hades Becker, and today we also have special guest, the Mr. Hartgrave. He has returned despite all of the abuse that we have leveled upon him over the last few months. Today's topic is the reviews that we've had Frank do and discussing some of the games that he's covered for us and his thoughts on those games and what it's been like working with AgroGamer.
Yeah, kind of a little behind the scenes here. That's pretty cool. I know that the people that have watched the AgroGamer reviews really like them. And I'm trying to convince more people to watch those reviews. And that's why we're airing this on my YouTube channel as well, to try to get that traffic over there. These Marvel Strike Force nerds are so goddamn resistant to entertainment. It's ridiculous. It's like they're addicted to a predatory mobile game and can't see the fucking forest for the trees. And
it's almost like we did a podcast about this before, didn't we?
Yeah, right.
We did cover this topic, yeah.
I'm trying to drag them over to I can be so much more entertaining and valuable as a video personality, YouTuber. I don't know what the fuck you want to call me. But this Marvel Strike Force thing is really, you know, tip of the iceberg. I can talk about that shit because it's what I've been doing for 5 years. But I think we've been making some really quality stuff. Thanks for having me on to talk about it.
It has definitely been a learning experience for me because when we did the first one, I had no idea how to edit video, but I said, okay, I'll learn how to do it. And I downloaded DaVinci Resolve, and you made it entertaining for me as I was trying to bash my head against the screen because you were just funny. And your quips and your one-liners and, you know, looking at the screen and trying and kind of talking to, breaking that fourth wall and talking to the watcher is really entertaining. And that has only progressed as we've been doing it, because as I've been editing, there are times that I feel like I'm having conversations with you. And you're like, hey, Ray, do editor things. And that helps keep me enthused, because when I'm sitting there trying to figure out how to do something, or I'm trying to get just the right cut, I know that you're there, at least in spirit, to either tell me to go fuck myself and keep me enthused, or to rally my spirits. And, you know, I know that you're in my corner.
We're just to judge you from the future.
Well, it's interesting because, yeah, we don't work in an office together, and we don't really have like long calls about how we want the review to go. So when I'm just shooting the review, I'll just kind of have that one-sided meeting where I kind of tell you what the plan is, at least in my mind. And I'm always open to whatever you want to do. I don't give a shit. I shoot the stuff, and then what I've worked with a couple of editors before, and my instruction is just whatever's funny. You can do whatever the fuck you want with what I give you. As long as it's funny, then put it in. I don't have any ego or whatever. And I don't like to stifle people's creativity either. If you have like a really good idea, like today you threw something at me and I was like, yeah, great. That sounds wonderful. I don't, you know, once it kind of like I did my part, like here it is. There's my part. I captured the game footage. I did my little review. I have to give up control at that point, and I'm just happy to see what happens.
Yeah, I've been running under two rules that over the last three reviews that we've done that I have learned. One, whatever is funny always trumps. You've said that from day one. And two, don't make you look like an asshole. That was the...
Come off like an asshole. Sometimes you come off like an asshole, and if you can avoid that, that'd be good.
Well, and for me...
Sometimes it's impossible. If it's funny, then the asshole thing stands.
Well, and for me, you said that, and I'm like, but no, it's funny. It's not you being an asshole. Yeah. It's you being funny. So
perfect.
Well, it's being genuine, which is what I know. Yeah. I've always, that was the only thing I always put out there when I'm handing over reviews. I want that genuine aspect to it all. Because I don't want somebody to be like, oh, I'm vamping this up because I, you know, I'm worried about, you know, what the publisher's going to think, what the developer's going to think. I want to put out the honest stuff. That's why I've been handing these over to you, and I really appreciate that.
No problem.
Even some of the conversations that David and I have had regarding games, it's like Frank is ready for a new game. What do you have? And he's like, okay, let me look through. Oh, this looks terrible. I'm like, I don't know. Frank might be into it.
How it's going down. It being unpleasant, I think, is part of it. I think that helps me be entertaining. Because I mean, that's kind of the, if I think about what's going on with Marvel Strike Force, which is my main content, of course, is I'm being tortured, and people enjoy that. I don't think some people are like, oh, we like it when you're happy. I'm like, really? Because my fucking views don't show that. My views go up the more agitated I am. Right now on my channel, the thing that gives me the best views is a thumbnail where I write the words total bullshit on it. And that kind of indicates what tone we're going for. And then that one just heats up. Like, everyone's like, oh, Mr. Hartgrave is fucking pissed or knocked out of sort in some way. We want to watch that. That's where it's at. So yeah, send me these bad games.
Well, I think I might have a few more lined up to pass over to you. But we'll see about that.
I'll do it.
I don't know. I heard there was something about Gollum.
Oh, don't get me started on Gollum. I should have handed that one over. That one is not good.
Yeah, this is a non-Lord of the Rings zone.
Yeah, I'm not in. Well, did you see the thing, though? I actually literally have a life-size cardboard stand-up of Christopher Lee as Saruman in this studio.
Oh, wow.
And it's been here. I've had that. I've transported that from Alaska. And while I'm sitting here, because the big thing is everyone's jumping over the Lord of the Rings predatory mobile game. And they're like, Mr. Hargrave, are you going to go cover that? And I'm like, fuck no, I don't like Lord of the Rings. But while I'm saying that, I'm literally staring at a life-size cutout of Saruman. I just like Christopher Lee.
Oh, yeah.
Which is always fun to explain to people. They're like, oh, Lord of the Rings. I'm like, fuck you. You're like, but you have a stand-up. I'm like, I just like Christopher Lee.
Hell, we could do a whole podcast just on Christopher Lee. That dude was awesome.
That's a great subject. Yeah, absolutely.
Noted.
Yeah. Actor, spy, you know, one of the best horror icons of the Hammer era.
Goddamn Dracula, man.
Yeah. We've actually done three reviews. The one I need to finish, which was Amanda the Adventurer. But the first one we did, that was the virtual game, Kill It With Fire.
That was fun.
Yeah.
It's only getting more painful from there, right, Ray?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The spiral goes from there.
Because I keep trying to get more ambitious. I'm like, let me film more shit. Because I don't have an outlet for this when it's Marvel Strike Force. When it's Marvel Strike Force, I'm stuck doing camera in room, game footage. I don't do, like, I used to really push what I could do with Marvel Strike Force, but it wasn't appreciated by this community. This Marvel Strike Force community didn't give a shit. And I know, like, the people that like me gave a shit. The people that like me love the Zemo stuff. They love it when I, you know, cloned myself and there was like three of me on the screen or whatever the fuck I was doing, whatever green screen crazy shit I was doing or acting or whatnot. My hardcore fans like that. Fuck, I had one shot to make a video with Mobile Gamer. I didn't know that was going to be my only shot, but I gave it over to Zemo, and it was Zemo and Mobile Gamer doing fucking goofball shit. And that used to be like my creative outlet. But what works for Marvel Strike Force is the most boring shit. Tier list. Tell us who to unlock, who to build, all this kind of boring shit. That, you know, I know, so it's something I can do for this, you know, community that gave me this platform, that put me in this space. But my God, is it ever not, you know, what I want to be doing, really, or what, you know, what I want to be known for? But you don't really get to pick what you're known for is the problem. So,
how is the AEW channel going?
As far as second channels go, let's just say really well. I have no idea. It's not horrible. Like, I've looked at other small wrestling channels and they are dog shit. Like, no views, like literally zero views. So I think our best video on there is like at 200 views. That's better than zero. And, you know, it's around 200 subscribers. So it's nowhere near the main channel. So it's really hard to, you know, compare these things. The ceiling for wrestling content on YouTube is so much higher than the ceiling on Marvel Strike Force content. If I make the best Marvel Strike Force, the most compelling Marvel Strike Force video known to man, and I probably need to quit. What I need to do is quit and make that video. That video, Mr. Hartgrave quits Marvel Strike Force, max views, 40,000. Now, if I make the most mundane, shitty wrestling video, but somehow the algorithm picks up 400,000 views. So, you know, you do the math. Like, what should I be doing, right? Like, I got to take a shot at it.
Yeah.
Wrestling content is just ridiculous as far as the amount of people consuming it on YouTube, as opposed to Marvel Strike Force, which is, on average, a good video for me is like maybe 7,000 to 10,000 views is like doing really, really good. Whereas, yeah, if you were doing wrestling videos, 10,000 views is like, you know, on the low end, basically. But if you're doing it daily, I would rather do that daily than anything else because I do consume a lot of wrestling content and whatnot. So, or these reviews. For these reviews that we're doing, those are going to be hard to break through. But on stuff like that, I mean, that's what can get you millions of views. So is where you're doing something
I've
really
got a
kind
pitch
of
for you. An October Halloween Zemo versus Heartgrave wrestling match.
Oh shit!
Ooh yeah.
That way, both channels, you get both groups.
Yeah, this is true. This was what I used to say. I used to say there used to be a little bit of a challenge going on that if we hit 10,000 subscribers, which at the time didn't seem seemed like a far away goal. And I would do the wrestling match. But the thing is about that is I would have to really do it. And what I did was I did this cup design where it's, me fighting a Zemo Hulk thing. And I said, now if we sell enough of these cups, maybe I'll do it. I kind of pushed it off and I was hoping no one would ever notice or call me on my bullshit. Yeah, maybe 20,000 subscribers. What do you think? 20,000 subscribers, we arrange the... I've had people offer to help me with it. It could happen.
That would be awesome. We get Gore Noir and Stephen Strange involved, and we come up with some posters for the match. And
yeah, it's definitely on possibility, I suppose. I feel like it's something I would jump to do if I was doing this full time and not in like a part time capacity, which people don't know about me so much. They think look around. This looks like a man that's doing this full time. But what I'm doing is I'm taking all of the revenue and putting it into studio upgrades. I donate a lot as well. We do a lot of charity stuff too, but I'm not paying my rent with this stuff. So I can afford to upgrade desks and lightings and throw monitors around and all kinds of stuff.
And then the screen behind you just lit up.
Yeah.
What's going on with that screen back there? Oh, it's cycling through things.
Yeah. I got all the thumbnails that I do for Addicted to Marvel Strike Force that take me way more time than I should ever spend on thumbnails for Marvel Strike Force. And just kind of reusing them back there as a little screensaver.
That's pretty
a little
sweet.
Added production value. We're always adding needless production value on this channel. I have no idea why.
Well, and as you can tell that I have done nothing with my office. It's a terrible mess. And David doesn't even have his camera on, so.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sitting in a black void right now. You'd see nothing right now. It's just complete darkness where I'm at.
As it should be if you're Hades, you know.
Yeah.
Exactly.
There you go.
Well, then I have Cerberus barking downstairs at me, and he's just upset. And I'm like, okay, well, fine. Let me go hide even further into my cave.
So you did the VR game first with us.
Yeah.
What was that like trying to record and play the VR game for the review?
Well, VR is something that I've been into for a long time. I think me and the family got into it during quarantine, during lockdown, back in 2020. We were approaching Christmas and we were feeling like failures as parents. Because no one knew what was going on, the longevity of COVID. My wife kind of did know. She has a doctorate in microbiology, so she was trying to school us on it and be like, guys, we're not going anywhere. No, seriously, guys, we're not going anywhere for a very long goddamn time. And so it kind of dawned on us that, yeah, we're not going anywhere. So we said, all right, one of the kids really wanted VR. So we did up VR. It's actually the computer that I'm running everything off of today. It's a very powerful computer that you need to run VR, right? Mm-hmm. So I ended up turning that in when they lost interest, because my kids lost interest in VR way before I did. I'm still kind of into it. I like doing it. I do have a threshold on it. Like if you do so many hours of VR, you kind of get VR fatigue and get kind of dizzy and stuff. I don't know. You kind of get into VR shape. So I was a little daunted taking on a VR game, not being in any kind of VR shape whatsoever. But I played it pretty hardcore for a few days, where I would do like an hour a day, every day for I don't know how many video clips I ended up sending over, like six of them or something, to get through the whole game or yeah. most of the game. I gave up at a certain point. I was like, fuck it, I can't. I can't do anywhere. It's a good game. But then I wonder what I'm like, I always get to this like point with doing these things where I start wondering, well, how many people are going to watch this? Is this worth the effort I'm putting in? Boy, I'm investing a lot of time in doing this thing. And then I got to fight through that and finish.
Well, I'm talking about a lot of time and investment that leads us right into the second one, which was Sherlock the Awakening.
And yeah, there was a massive fail on my behalf to keep things reined in. Yeah.
Because that was 8 hours of just gameplay footage. I got to see a really great game and how you play games.
Yeah, I didn't set out to beat that game. They're all supposed to be like kind of like brief videos, I guess. But then like Burning with Fire, I guess I left a little bit of that game uncovered, but it was a short game. Most VR experiences are pretty short. So that wasn't a big deal. But then Sherlock Holmes, I was like, let me just play a little bit, get some highlights, and then I'll give some impressions of it. And we're out, you know? The last one didn't hit like a ton of views or anything. I think it got like 500. So I'm like, you know, I don't need to go crazy about this. But then I got to one point of the game, which is in the video, where like my whole opinion of this chat, I think I definitely messaged you that day. I'm like, oh shit, I got to finish this thing. I got to do it justice, because now it's like a good game and I don't want to be short with it. I want to be authentic with it. I don't want to be like, oh, this is just a shitty, because the first half of the game I did not like, the first like 2 hours, which I thought was going to be the whole review. I'm like, I'm just going to bag on this game. And then it got really good. And then I'm like, oh shit, now I got to finish this game.
Two hours of table staring.
Yeah. Thankfully, I cheated and I got a walkthrough, and that made it actually possible just to solve all the puzzles. Because this is an adventure game, so most of the time you're going to spend on it, if you're going to play it for like 20 hours or whatever, would be trying to figure things out yourself. But I figure a lot of reviewers do that. I don't know what game reviewers do. I am not a professional at all.
Usually we're all sent reviewing guides that give little tips and hints and all that stuff to be like, if you get stuck at this point so you can continue forward, here's what you do here, and here's how you do this, and here's this little shortcut here.
They want you to get through the game.
Yeah.
And so, like, Kill It With Fire actually had a debug menu where I could just unlock all the content, which is exactly what I should have done. It's not what I did. I started playing it like a jabroni. But what I should have done is use the debug menu, and then I could have been done with that video in about an hour or two instead of the 6 hours or whatever to play through the entire. But it was a fun game. I didn't mind.
Yeah, but you played through it like a normal gamer would, though. And that's the important thing.
Well, and you don't pull punches when you're talking about stuff in the game. So that gives a very real sense of playing through the game. And the shit that you see, and some of your responses on the screen to what you're playing through.
Yeah, absolutely. And with the Sherlock game, I think the first half of that, where it's very negative, I would have probably not played more unless I was doing the review. I probably would have been like, all right, this is not for me. I would have loaded it up. I would have got stuck at that point. I would have missed a really cool experience, though.
Yeah.
So that's why I like putting that video out there, because it's definitely a game where you could write it off, maybe seeing it initially or whatever. So that's why I thought it was almost on a mission with you on that one. I'm like, we have to show people how cool this game is so that maybe they will go experience it, because normally I would not play a game like that. I wouldn't do that. And a lot of things I tried on my channel to kind of promote people to go check out VR, because I thought it was really transformative. I think it's so cool to play VR. And a lot of people are like, oh, it's too expensive. It's literally like $200. For $200, maybe $240, you can go be in Resident Evil 4.
Mm-hmm.
And be inside of Resident Evil. I don't know how else I can better sell VR to anyone than telling you that for a mere $240, you can be inside of the iconic Resident Evil 4, which is probably one of the coolest things I've done in VR and you don't need any special hardware or computer. You can do that with the Quest 2, which is basically an right-in-the-box VR system. It's not as expansive as PC VR, which I also have, which I would, you know, if you're going to be a VR connoisseur, you might want to do that and kind of get into Half-Life Alyx, which you cannot do on the Quest 2. But I think for a lot of people, just playing Resident Evil 4 in VR would be extremely eye-opening to what VR is. That's one of the coolest experiences that I've had with it, for sure.
So are you saying that we need to do some kind of review for VR Resident Evil?
Absolutely. I can't wait to play Resident Evil 7 and 8 someday in VR. I've never played Resident Evil 7 because that was the one that came out on VR, yeah.
I've done Resident Evil 7 in VR. That is, that was when my eyes got opened to how good VR, and that was on the PSVR, not even like any of the higher end PC ones. Yeah, I was like, okay, this is apparently way different than I remember back in the late 90s, early 2000s, when it was just like the Virtual Boy and all that shit was coming out.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well,
Resident Evil 4 was really cool too, because like I've played that game so many times from outside.
Yeah.
So being inside of it is like this special kind of nostalgia that you really need to experience if you haven't. Like, it's really something else to be inside of this game that I'm so familiar with. But now you can just like walk over to that little area that you've only seen before. You can crouch down. You can look at. It's just so weird.
I'm wanting to see it.
You gotta check it out. You gotta do it. Every grown dork needs to go do this. It's like your duty to go be inside Resident Evil 4. If you've ever played Resident Evil 4, it's just a really cool experience.
I can agree with that 100%.
If you love video games at all, I don't know why you're skipping that one. Well, I keep wanting to review Resident Evil 6.
Yeah.
I started playing Resident Evil 6. I don't have any footage captured, though, unfortunately. I've been playing it on my Steam Deck. But I don't know. I could probably do some kind of... Maybe we just need to do a podcast about Resident Evil 6.
Okay.
Everybody should play through it or something. Because the initial reaction to Resident Evil 6 was, this is the drizzling shits. This is the worst Resident Evil. Fuck Resident Evil. Resident Evil's dead. Resident Evil 6 has killed the franchise. I get a Steam Deck. One of the first things I get is Resident Evil 6 because it's on sale like the day I get the Steam Deck for like $6. And I'm like, I've played it a little bit before. I did not like it on console. For some reason, the moment I have it on a handheld device, I'm like, this is the greatest Resident Evil ever. Maybe not that, but it felt so much better and more right on a portable console than trying to play it on like, you know, a high-end TV or something. Like, I don't know, something felt off about it, but as like a portable, digestible, short little experience, it's such a better game. But now I'm doing the Resident Evil 6 podcast before.
Well, and so the third one that we've had you review, which the review should come out before this podcast goes out, so we can we could technically talk about it. Amanda the Adventurer.
This is like spoilers. So if you're watching this on Addicted to Marvel Strike Force and Raymond has failed to get it out by Monday, then you're getting a little preview of what this video is. And yeah, I haven't talked about it. I've been coy. I've been like, I did another one. I won't tell you. But even if I say Amanda the Adventurer, I mean, people have Google now, so they can just Google it up. I thought it was going to be a VR game. And it wasn't. It should be.
An edutainment game.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, I think that I had got my wires crossed when I was talking to David, because I thought it was the VR game, because we had a couple of VR possibilities, and then he was like, but I got this one. And I'm like, okay, I'll just see what Frank says. If he tells me to go fuck myself, then I know that he's on board.
Well, if you send me the game, I'll do it. I don't think I'm going to say no. I don't know what you would have to send me for me to be like, nah, I'm not doing it. Like, even if it's the worst thing, I'm like, all right, that'll probably be good for the content.
There are some games out there I've had solicited to me that I'm like, no, that's not good content. Like, I've had the entirety of like the Leisure Suit Larry remasters thrown at me, and I'm like,
It's a little rough. Yeah. You know what? I do it though, because I remember those games. I totally remember Leisure Suit Larry. I remember wanting to play them as a kid. And then I remember actually playing a couple and not wanting to do that ever again.
No, but, got it. I think they're coming now.
There's interesting content in that, though. I think it's a weird little piece of computer game history for sure.
Yeah, because I played those around the time that I was doing BBSs, and I downloaded the original Wolfenstein and Duke Nukem from a BBS, and they were done by Apogee. And I remember shanking Nazis in Duke Nukem, no, Wolfenstein, shanking Nazis and then killing Hitler in all of his pixeled glory. So that was, yeah, I remember Leisure Suit Larry on floppy. Floppy disk.
Good times, good times.
Man.
The floppy disk and the confirmation codes, you got to look in the manual for them. It's good stuff.
Yeah. But Amanda the Explorer, or Amanda the Explorer, because it is kind of a riff on Dora the Explorer. But Amanda the Adventurer, it has been really interesting and entertaining as I've been putting this review together from your footage and content. Just how, because I think at one point you sum it up the fact that it's in a contained space, but it does a lot with that contained space.
It does. It would be a really great VR title, and I would totally play it again in VR because I think the fear would be so much higher. It'd be such a creepier game in VR. It's a really good example of how elevated that experience can be. I mean, I'm only speaking from having a lot of experience playing with VR games, but I could kind of tell when I was playing this because I'm pretty much distanced from it. If you're on the outside of it, you're not inside of it. So it's only as immersive as you kind of let it be. So it didn't really get to me that much. Watching some of the game has moments where it's a little unsettling, but all that would be so much more heightened inside VR. It would be a really good. It's a shame that it wasn't VR, but I'm sure they'll do it. Somebody's got to do it. It feels like it's developed for VR. Just like I don't know what happened.
Well, anything that takes place in a first person view can technically be in a VR space. It just takes the extra work to make that happen.
Well, it's weird because it has a lot of like. It feels like a lot of the games that are in VR. It's one room and you interact with a lot of objects in the room with, and all the objects have like a little, physics thing to them. You turn things around or whatever. It would all just translate brilliantly to VR. No
Well, if the
big
developers are listening to this or watching this, hint.
I try not to say that too much, and I had to stop myself so many times when doing the review from being like, this should be VR. Like I didn't want to hammer that every like I wanted to say it every minute, but I was like, that is the worst video I could possibly make because you can't go play it in VR. So what, I'm just gonna sit here and say this game should be VR and that's my review of the game? Like, no, I have to do the job. But I'll say it now that motherfucker should be VR. It's a missed opportunity. It would be so much more freaky.
So we have given you some games that have not been mainstream titles.
Yeah, you guys sent me some really weird stuff.
Are you good with that weird stuff overall?
Yeah, that's all good. I think I mean, it's kind of becoming part of the joke of the videos. It's like, all right, guys, what do I get today? Do I get to play like some, is this gonna be a Harry Potter or Amanda the Explorer? Okay. I mean, Sherlock Holmes was close. I have heard of the Sherlock Holmes games. And that is kind of I don't know. I guess it's not a big budget. It was a studio like out of the Ukraine, right?
Yeah.
Well, they also they're the same one that did the Sunken City games. Frogwares has done a few games. I think they did the original one back in 2007. So this was a remaster to keep the studio up and floating while the war is going on.
Well, and this was the second Sherlock game that they had done, because the first one actually had a combat mechanic that you didn't really get to see in Sherlock the Awakened, which
Oh, that's interesting.
I thought that, yeah, I thought that was really interesting, because I know at one point during the review you had mentioned like there was no real combat. It was all a lot of table looking and a lot of clue hunting and that sort of thing. I think the closest you got to it with The Awakened was when you were in Louisiana, the bayou, and you were having to shoot the bodies out of the trees.
Yes. Yeah, to get away from the alligators. I don't think that made the final cut of the video, that whole alligator section, which is wise because there was so much gameplay. I played the whole damn game. And so I loved the montage you did. But yeah, we did lose the I meant to play some of it on Twitch, but the timing just didn't work out. Because that kind of stuff would have been cool for Twitch, the whole alligator section, which is really cool. It's a really cool game. Like that might not have I hope that the video was intriguing enough that people would, if they saw a Sherlock Holmes game, especially this one, and on sale or whatever, or I don't know where you find or how you find video games anymore, or maybe you seek it out now that you hear about it or watch it or whatever. You would get it. It's worth it. It's worth going through all of the puzzles and whatnot if you don't like that kind of stuff, because I don't like that kind of stuff. I like my video games a little more immediate. I think Resident Evil puzzles are about as much as I can really tolerate on a normal basis. I don't think I normally turn to walkthroughs and just like, give me the fucking code. I'll go and search around for it. For this one, I was like, just give me the fucking code so I can open the thing up. And I
So
was a little bit like that with Amanda as well. I did not
yeah.
hunt down all the hunting down. Some of that shit was cryptic as hell. To hunt down all the secrets in Amanda the Explorer would have taken, if I'd need to be a child with unlimited time or something to do that. So I did look all that shit up.
So what you're saying is, you don't want to do the remastered Myst
Oh my
review.
God. I mean, that is once again, I remember that. I remember Myst. I remember thinking this is going to be great. Then I remember playing Myst and it wasn't so great. There's probably is material in it, but maybe not all adventure or what do you call them? Adventure games, I guess, is what they're called.
Well, and that's really David looking at the void that is David's icon to see what he has to toss your way next.
Or maybe all adventure games. Maybe that's what's funny. If torturing me with adventure games is funny.
All right. All adventure games going forward. Got it. Anything that has like serious puzzles, that's all I'm going to give you. Get ready for Macho. That one's going to come your way now.
Christ. What you guys should try to do is give me games that would get YouTube
Well, David was
Well,
actually
I
teasing
missed a
about
lot.
that earlier when we were
I may
talking.
have a few. I may have a few in the works right now. I can't really speak about, but I think one of them will work really well for your second channel.
That sounds great.
So I'm working on some of that to get you something a little
That'd be
more
funny.
mainstream to not torture you so much. Because the torture works best when you have a couple of reprieves. You're like, okay, everything's fine now. And then we hit you again right in the gut. That's the best part.
Well, I think it'd be funny if you could get me a wrestling game that isn't AEW Fight Forever.
Noted. I will work on that
There's got to be a VR wrestling game out
game,
there.
bro.
I think there's a JCW one out there. I'm gonna get you some Juggalo wrestling out there.
I'm down with the clown, so yeah.
Whoop.
There's actually a pretty cool VR game. I forget what it's called. It's like Gord or something. I forget what it's called exactly, but it is like a like barbarian fight simulator. That's probably the closest to wrestling. It's actually pretty great and violent. Like you can just like rip people's heads off and stuff, and kind of get into hand-to-hand altercations. That one's pretty fun. Yeah, pretty interesting. I don't like playing VR games though, where I swing my hands because I always end up really close to a wall and just like fracturing my hand on the wall. Just like because I get into it, like I just believe I'm in there and I'm just like fighting for my life and just bam, knocking holes in the wall. And I just redid everything around here. I put my head right through that television back there. It's bad news. That's
Right.
one thing my studio is not equipped for anymore is VR. So I don't know what I'm gonna do if I get another VR. I'm sure I'll work it out. But I did put a massive desk right in the middle of the studio now, so that's a bit of a problem.
Right, so God of Rock is on the list now. That's a VR title where it's kind of like Beat Saber, but you're fighting off zombie hordes instead of hitting
Oh,
notes.
that sounds awesome. I'm a big rhythm game fan. I got so into Rock Band for so many years. Me and my wife actually entered a Rock Band tournament and won. We got
Wow,
into it.
congrats.
Yeah, absolutely.
I did the same thing back in 2000, I think it was 2008 or 2009. And the only reason I won was that they added in performance as well. I was playing They Say by Scars on Broadway. The person that I was going up against had to quit because I turned around and this song memorized so well. I played with my back to the screen. Nice. And the guy was like, what the hell is going on? Like, he freaked out, just missed every other note. And I was able to play just perfectly the entire time on like expert.
Got it. Destroyed. My friend used to be able to do that with Freebird, the Freebird song.
Oh.
So well that he could not look at the screen while he did it. I was like, you bastard.
See, and I have no sense of timing or rhythm or pattern recognition. So I can't do any of that. Whereas my partner loves DDR and does all that DDR stuff and loved Rock Band. And I'm terrible. We went to Super Nintendo World at Universal and there was a game that we had to play and David hit it the first time, first shot. And it took me like three freaking times to actually get past it.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Yeah, and you got that recorded. Thanks, David.
Yeah, it's up on the YouTube as well. It's there forever for everybody to see.
Yay, my embarrassment. It's immortal.
You need a special playlist where we just embarrass Ray.
Thanks, guys.
That's what you need.
Third channel, here we go.
Perfect.
Wow, all right. Friendship, that's what the...
Raymond plays rhythm games.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Yeah, you wanna see somebody aggroed? I'll start smashing the guitar into the walls and shit because I can't do it. Well, for our podcast, we are coming up on the 40-minute mark, so
mark.
We're gonna have to wrap this one down. If not, I'm gonna be editing a video review as well as a podcast forever.
See, that's my secret. I just don't edit anything.
Yeah, but you're far more funnier than we are. So that's why we brought you back, because we're like, we need Frank to be here to up our game. Because if not, we're just two chuckleheads talking into mics, and nobody wants to listen to that.
Exactly. We're just trying to steal all the secrets.
Well, I'm happy to help out. I've really enjoyed doing the reviews. Looking forward to doing more of them. And yeah, we're one of these days we're gonna play a good game, like,
yeah,
something I actually, I don't know.
We're gonna shock you at some point. You're gonna be like, wait, what?
I mean, I play, you know, I play Marvel Strike Force. How high is my bar? Like, it's the games I played so far were great. What am I saying? They're all better than Marvel Strike Force. So. It's a win.
Resident Evil 6 remaster, but only the console version. Got it.
Wow.
Oh, man.
You know,
no, I want to rep for that game. I think that game got a bad rap. I don't, because I play Resident Evil 5, and I don't understand what is worse about Resident Evil 6 than Resident Evil 5. If you're not going to diss on Resident Evil 5, then I don't know why you hate Resident Evil 6 so much. I think it was
because there was more of the action and less of the horror. It was like you could watch kind of like the Fast and the Furious movies. As they get further and further, they get more furious than fast, and you watch how they get shittier and shittier. It's kind of like Resident Evil. It had like the amazing Resident Evil 4 horror stuff. Then Resident Evil 5 ends with you punching a boulder, and then Resident Evil 6 is like, fuck it, we're just going all action, all you know, boulder. Nonstop.
I don't know. I think it's medium, because I think it really improves on the handheld. Everybody's got to try it on Steam Deck. You got to get a VR. You got to get a Steam. I'm really sounding ableist as hell right now. I don't know. I don't know. These things will become more available over time, I assume.
They don't even make Steam Decks anymore, do they?
I think they do.
Yeah, they still make Steam Decks. It's the one that was the bridge between your PC and your TV. It's kind of like a Steam TV type thing.
Yeah.
They don't make those anymore. I got one of those for like $1. When like, so we're just trying to liquidate. And I'm like, okay, here's a dollar.
Well, Frank, I truly appreciate that you were willing to hop on and talk to us this evening. And we promise we will get you a game that is one that you've heard of to do a review. But I also want to bring you in because at one point I had pitched possibly doing like a podcast episode about Monster Squad, which I still say is one of the best horror movies of the 90s, and we've got a bunch of different ideas like that we'd be like, hey Frank, what do you think of this?
Yeah, that sounds great. I'll have to rewatch Monster Squad. I'm sure I saw it because I used to work in a video store and I watched everything in there. So I'm sure I saw it at some point, but I remember some of the stuff from it. I know what movie you're talking about.
You were like, Wolfman's got nards? I was like, that's it.
Remember.
Okay, you remembered that.
That was like on the trailer, and that the trailer for Monster Squad was on every video that I watched. So I know that part really well.
Okay. We'll have to maybe even just do like a movie watch, so we all get caught up and then we can talk about it.
That sounds perfect.
Great. Well, thank you again, Frank, and we'll have you back in the not too distant future after we've terrorized you with a few more reviews.
Perfect. Looking forward to the torture.
This has been the AgroCast. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you for listening to the AgroCast Resurrected, the official podcast of AgroGamer. For more gaming news and reviews, please check us out at agrogamer.com. If you enjoyed today's content, follow and subscribe to get notifications of our next episodes.